percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hey there. Fantastic weather. It's finally spring. Hopefully it's spring where you are and it's not flooding or volcanoing or doing anything really, really, really rotten. Just ocean rise, okay? They've decided now that the icebergs have melted beyond the point of no return. We can't get them back no matter what. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, no matter what we do, because some people will see that as like, hey, no biggie. We're doomed. And other people will say, well, we could keep it like at an even level so that at least a few of us will survive while the water is still, you know, like only on less of the planet than covering up New York City and all of our favorite places. So that's the big news. The other big news, just in terms of what's happening in the world, the paranormal stuff, I am so thrilled. A lot more of this stuff is actually making it to the mainstream news. I think it's because they need a diversion. It's about darn time. So there was one that washed up, and who knows if this is Photoshop or not, but it was I think an ABC affiliate reported it, and the guy, he sent in a picture. He says, this is not a fake. Okay, now, that bears, you have to prove, even though he said in big bold print on his lovely video, this is not a fake. Many of those have turned out to be just exactly that. Funny. Okay, so here it is on the beach, but it looks like the Loch Ness Monster, a mini version of the Loch Ness Monster. I'll post the link. Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but it does. And they say, well, okay, there is a certain kind, according to guys who study this, or gals, a kind of shark that as it decomposes, it will take on that form, which kind of makes you wonder if out in the Loch Ness Lake that it's a decomposing shark who's been making all these appearances for the last several hundred years. Anyway, okay, so that's going on. I like Twitter because I make new friends. And the most recent, of course, since, you know, Wendy's Coffee House, I don't know how they got me, but it was Kopi Jos, all right? K-O-P-I, Jos. And I'm thinking, okay, what is this? And here it is. Right after I get that, I find Atlas Obscura, and they do a food site where they do all these really funky, cool, unusual foods. You put coal in the coffee, and you drink it. Put the lime in the coconut. Well, not quite like that. But the reason, and this is pretty cool, I think, it neutralizes the acidity. And this is a red-hot piece of coal straight into the glass of maybe a sweetened chocolate. And so it's Kopi Jos. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I don't have that, but I'm doing my best version. Anyway, they say it has kind of a little bit of a charcoaly, not charcoaly, should I say? How do I say that? Well, they say it isn't bad. Maybe that's the way I should put it. A caramely, you know, flavor. Anyway, I just thought it would be fun to try this, but maybe it's a specific kind of charcoal before I go out to the briquettes and start dumping them in my coffee. And if you're over where they make this, Indonesia, it'll cost you 20 to 40 cents. Yeah, okay, there's a bargain. That's worth the trip. If you see anybody around with charcoal in their coffee, you'll know this is where they got it. It's a trend. The other friend I just made on Twitter was Airhead, S-U-P, stand-up paddles. And I have two. My husband and I, we got the inflatable Airhead paddles. I'm like, wow, hi. I'm extra friends because I already have your paddle boards, and they're fabulous. We take the dogs on them, too. You know, it's just a fun, it's a fun hobby. And it was so nice, you know, just these little surprises you get on Twitter.
I'm trying to figure out where I filed it. Oh, okay. It's the tiger. They have did you know this? They have a very specific sound they make when they're happy. No other animals make it. It's called a chirf. Or a chuff, I'm sorry. Chirf is a bird. Chuff. I don't know if it's a bird or not, but it was close. A chuff. And I'll, again, post this, but they make this very specific noise. And the guy, obviously, they like him a whole lot because it comes up and kind of nuzzles the guy and
and makes that really cool noise. This is on Twisted Sifter, and if you have chance, put that on your things to do when I'm looking for something, and I'm avoiding putting off things I should be doing. Okay, not that you're bored, you're just distracted, and you'd like to be entertained. And Twisted Sifter is a place to go for that. My guest lives in a haunted house. She also communicates with animals, and she knits blankets for squirrels. Cheryl Knobloch is my guest today, and the haunted house thing we're going to get to in a little bit. But Cheryl, I love your blanket knitting project. Do you have at this point a big fan club? Because we're working on that.
It's funny. I've been getting pictures of squirrels from all over the country. You know, people who've rehabilitated them or people who love them. I've gotten squirrel presents in the mail from friends, bags of peanuts from Amazon, squirrel mugs. It's really opened up a whole new group of friends that, you know, send me anytime there's a cute story about squirrels. They send it to me. You know, if they'll see a squirrel statue or something, they'll say, "This made me think of you as I went by." So it's really been a nice experience.
Well, and you've done several other books. It's Spirit Whispers. You've done a few, and this one to me, it was like as soon as I saw that, I thought, okay, we've got to talk. So you got me with the squirrels, okay? Most people are, it's a squirrel, no big deal. They hide the bird food. They get annoyed.
Right.
But this is just it's a much kinder, gentler way of acknowledging that squirrels are also part of the backyard contingent.
Well, like you say, most people think they're pests. You know, rats in the trees, you know, with tails. And if you watch them, if you interact with them each day, you see how cute they are, how smart they are, and they really become endearing to your heart. And I wrote the book for adults who like them, but also for children, for them to become acquainted with the animals outside, to have some compassion in their heart. You know, there's a lot of cruelty in this world, so I wanted to teach a little bit of kindness. And what better way than to teach children kindness than to make them love, you know, the beings that need our care in the world.
Well, when you first started doing this, were you already friends with the squirrels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been called the squirrel whisperer for many years. It started just, I told the story before, my daughter had seen a squirrel try to drag a lost child's cap, a winter cap, up into the tree to his nest. And he tried and tried, couldn't lift it. And she said, you know, watching this thing, I said, you know, she said, why don't you knit something for them, knit blankets. And that's how I started knitting the blankets, and I put them outside. And it took a while. They wait. When you introduce something new to them, you know, it takes them a couple of days to know this is okay, it's safe. So they sniffed a couple of days. They, you know, kept looking at them. And then they accepted them and started taking them up and lining their nests with them. And it's really been such a great experience to watch.
Well, and I think it's fun. I don't know. I think you said when you first noticed that they needed or thought they might need a blanket or a sweater or something,
yeah,
you saw a squirrel hauling a hat
right
off to the nest.
Right, a child's cap. A child had lost his cap in front of my grandson's elementary school, and this squirrel said, "Wow, this is a great find. You know, I'm going to pull this up to my nest and be warm." And they sure need it today. Right now, we're getting over a foot of snow in my area, so.
Oh, yeah, happy spring.
Yeah. But the squirrels are a bit confused. They don't know what season it is right now.
Yeah, I think it's messing with everybody in that way. So
yeah.
The birds, however, already have started doing their migrations earlier. And
yeah.
The back of the seed packets now tell you you're in a different zone than you used to be. I think that was changed maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, climate shift is just kind of gradually getting our attention.
Yeah.
I want to get into the next break talking about some of the stuff that you do and also the fact that you live in a haunted house. And it isn't public, but it's in a very place that might, you know, Gettysburg, people might mm-hmm. assume that there are a few ghosts roaming around. I want to talk about that, too, and how you deal with living in a home that is haunted, okay?
Okay.
All right. My guest, Cheryl Knobloch. Now, I'm giving out the WordPress site, the mm-hmm. Cheryl SK or S Knobloch 88 WordPress. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fine.
Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes here with my guest, Cheryl Knobloch, on Wendy's Coffee House. Thinking about that coffee chose. Wondering, does it have a kick? It's hot. And you might choke. Maybe that's why I was feeling I was going to kind of like choke earlier. It was the coffee. It was the charcoal. Got stuck. Like, I tell you, I was going through that break talking with Cheryl. I mean, Cheryl didn't know this, but I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I worked on through it, but boy, okay. So just talking about things like that in a negative way, charcoal and coffee, don't do it, all right? I do. I'm kind of curious what the flavor would be like. And at this point, though, maybe I'll just take that sign as I should avoid it for a while and try something else. The other thing we're talking about, though, is a ghost. And I've had people who insist that if you live with a ghost, you have to get rid of it and the ghost will go away. But if you're in an area that is very, very highly active with lots of ghosts, a lot of times they just take up residence somewhere else. And if you are in an area where your house is extraordinarily active, haunted in any way, shape, or form, has a lot of paranormal activity, then there's an indication that there's something else, a cemetery or a past history, that things have been going on. And just because you come in and have somebody cleanse your space doesn't mean it won't come back at another time, or that, you know, there's something else that we don't have full control over. So Cheryl lives in a haunted house in Gettysburg. And Cheryl, how, first off, were you aware of ghosts when you were a kid?
Yes. I saw my first ghost when I was a small child. Yeah.
Okay. So this wasn't something that was going to be, for you, intimidating?
No. No. I knew, I always wanted to go to Gettysburg ever since I was a little child. I think I had, you know, if you believe in past lives, reasons for being drawn to things, I think there was a connection there that always drew me to that place. So it wasn't, I think it was meant for me to wind up there.
Now, the other thing, too, is you are a medium and you work as an animal communicator as well. So these are things you're familiar with and you're comfortable with.
Yes.
When you chose the house, and you talked about being in another house that was maybe a good one to avoid,
mm-hmm.
Can you tell the difference? Can you explain the difference for somebody who may not be familiar with this?
Well, it's just like if you're meeting a stranger for the first time and you get that sense that you don't like this person, you don't know why, you get that gut instinct. When you walk into a home, you can feel that energy as well. Houses have an energy of feel to them, and you can sense if it's a kind, welcoming energy or if it's something that's a bit dark. You have that. Everyone has that ability that in their gut to sense things. So I always, you know, if you shop at flea markets and you like to buy antiques and things, if you get a sense when you pick up something that it's, you shouldn't bring it home, then notice that. Take note of it, because it's your own gift telling you, you know, there's something about this that is not something you should bring into your home.
Sometimes, and my own feeling is that there's more activity than I want to deal with on a regular basis is the best way I can explain it, because they may be playful, challenging, mm-hmm. obnoxious. There's all, just like people, they all have
mm-hmm.
different
right.
attitudes and energies.
Right.
And when you find pictures falling off the walls, or you
mm-hmm.
find objects being relocated or turned
yeah.
over, it gets yeah. a tad annoying when you have to go to the day job.
Yeah, that gets me annoyed, because if something goes missing and then comes back in a little while, that gets me annoyed. You know, when I'm looking for something and it's not in its place, and that does get on my nerves. But like you say, playful, mischievous things. Just like if you're a nice person in life, you cross into spirit, you'll be a nice person. If you're
challenge.
and if you've got scrambled energy in life,
uh-huh.
when you cross over, that energy is not going to just instantly become peaceful. That's why I don't like to investigate asylums, you know. Because, you know, what you're going to find there is the energy of these people, which in life was not so great. So in crossing over, that energy is still you know, out of whack.
Well, and see, some of that, too, it's like people who are avid ghost hunters. Mm-hmm. Some of them, you know, they profess that they're skeptics. And so I think there's that tire kicking thing of prove it. Let me experience and I'll know. And they have so many experiences and still say, well, I'm a skeptic and I don't believe it. But that kind of energy is exactly what brings on a more amplified counter, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, a contrary type of energy. And
yeah.
that's, I think some people are beginning to understand that, and it helps. That's why I wanted you to talk about what it's like. You live in Gettysburg, and the house that you have is active. What are you used to experiencing on a regular basis, aside from the missing things?
There are different spirits in my home. I believe there are spirits of the residents that lived in the farmhouse that remain there, and there are also spirits of the soldiers that inhabited the house. And there are visiting spirits, you know, sometimes a soldier, because there are soldiers' spirits that wander through the town. I mean, the whole town was a battlefield. People think they come to Gettysburg and they come into town and say, well, where was the battle? Well, the battle was everywhere in town, you know. So there's spirits wandering in and out everywhere. You can be in broad daylight just walking into a grocery store. I have stories of kids in high school that in the school they've experienced things. So everywhere there's activity.
Well, and there's activity. There's a town that's near where I am. It's Weston, Missouri, and it's a lot of activity there. And people, they do the ghost tours, ghost walks. But even in the metro of Kansas City, I know of a place that has been for sale maybe four or five times in the last decade because it's extremely active. And maybe all of the people who've tried to purchase this place and make peace with whatever business they were going to have don't know this. But one of the ladies who ran it as an antique shop said mm-hmm. that once it started happening more frequently and her teenage daughter was having more challenges yeah. with it, she sold it. But the, yeah. the younger kids who would come in were more likely to say, hey, who was a little boy standing there at the counter? The yeah. adults didn't see it.
Yeah.
But that well, part
that,
of it...
that teenage year is the time, you know, the optimum time where the energy can affect you. You know, teenagers, poltergeist activity, you know, that's when it seems to... if something's in the house, it will
engage
feed off of that.
Yes,
yeah.
engage, and that's another thing with the Weston place, that there are a lot of homes up there who have activity, and this is just a part of it. So it's making people more aware that this isn't just a one-off. This isn't just a oh you're weird or something like that.
Yeah.
It's part of our natural encounters. So that if you would find yourself in this situation, just ask somebody who's been through it and say, okay, how do yeah. I deal with it? There's a guy right now who's going nuts because things in his house keep getting moved and
yeah.
falling and lights come on. And he's just really annoyed and wanting it to go away. And it's not cooperating. What do you suggest?
Oh, it's a lot of mediums. They just work exclusively with the idea that they enter a place and they have to bring the spirits toward the light. I don't think that way. I think sometimes spirits are happy where they are, and they, if you just accept them, that's what I did when I moved into my place. I went through the rooms. I said, look, I know you were here first. I know you've your right to be here. If you want to stay, that's fine with me. I accept you. No one's going to come in and try and force you out toward the light. You know, it's not something that I do. If a spirit is happy where they are, and some are, some stay in a place because they love that place, and they don't want to go on. And if you accept them, tell them that they're accepted, you know, things can become a lot more peaceful. If you try to get them out, try to force them out, you can stir up things and agitate things. People who bring in, you know, mediums and ghost investigation teams to try and contact the spirit, try and make them move on peacefully, sometimes that stirs up things.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. So, and I agree. I think you're much better off acknowledging that there's somebody else that's here, and if you can just work out a commonality, you'll quiet the place down. We're going to, the next break, the past lives and reincarnation, because you do Reiki as well, energy work.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to kind of to ask a few questions about that. So
sure.
Hang on. We got to take a break, do some news, pay some bills. Yes, that's part of it. And we'll come back with Cheryl Knobloch, my guest, on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. I love this. It's like, yeah, a classic. Okay. And my moment, I decided Loch Ness Monster Creature was in Georgia. I had to just go back. I was just too curious. I left it out. I had it in my notes, and I was looking, you know, I had the coffee thing kind of on my... and it's in Georgia, all right? They say the guy who said, this is a real thing, this isn't Photoshopped, washed up on the Wolf Island National Refuge. Okay, so that's it. And you can see the video. I'll put the link. Savannah Now, I think, is who covered it. Which, I just thought, you know, this is, I'm still curious about this. This is the stuff that drives you crazy. Well, maybe it, not crazy, but to distraction. And the reason we really like the internet. Okay, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Back to the focus here. Past lives and reincarnation. Now, when you're doing Reiki, the energy work that you do, that this is, and I was actually at a seminar with Brian Weiss, the book.
I was too.
Okay, many
I've
lives.
I've been regressed, yes.
Yes, many lives, many masters. And he was a classic. How did you set this up to intentionally connect with a past life, or did it just come through as part of the work?
No, I didn't. I don't think you can set things up. I think things come through that, you know, are meant to. I think you can. When I had my office, I had a hypnotherapist come and do past life regressions, and there were people that were blocked. There was some fear in them that they did block what would come through. But as far as the only thing you could set up is, I've had people who were so obsessed with an era in history, and I mean that their email address would be something to do with that era in history, that as soon as they walked through the door, I knew what they were going to come, what was going to come through in a
yeah.
regression.
Okay.
They were going to be in that era. They were going to be that person. Whether it was Cleopatra in Egypt, or you know what I'm saying, you can do that. You can, in your mind, create that obsession, can create itself, and you will, of course, in the regression, come through as that person. But I think the regressions that are actually true are the ones that I've seen, ones where you don't become the ancient queen or the gladiator. You become a moment, a very touching moment in history, whether it was at the bedside of a child that died or a parent that died. It was a very, very heart-wrenching moment. I've seen these moments come through, and
mm-hmm.
they're undeniable. Like, there is something very true about past life. I firmly believe that.
I know when I had a Reiki session, it was a massage and Reiki combo with somebody that I've worked with for years now, and I am so grateful for her work. But working on my neck, and at one point she said it felt like my neck just, you know, my head fell off the table because it got so light, and
yeah.
I remembered a past life at that
mm-hmm.
moment, and a death moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that was so at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, there was emotion that was caught
mm-hmm.
up in that activity that I
yeah.
felt very solid in that memory. And it wasn't anything more than that. It's just that release of that emotion of that death. And
that death moment could have been by hanging. I mean, you usually...
Oh, I know what it was.
Well,
it was a decapitation.
Okay.
Yeah, I remembered.
You will suffer ailments in this life that are related to past issues. You'll suffer certain parts of your body that were wounded, you know, in past lives, yes.
I had a birthmark at the back of my neck, so that one kind of explained what that was about. But it also had to do with the throat chakra, so when you're doing that kind of work... it has to do, like, which is interesting, and when I'm talking to you and doing this and having that little coffee choke moment,
yeah.
that's a lot of what it corresponds. There's
mm-hmm.
there's always a pattern or some
right.
kind of a relation, whether we see it at the moment or not. It isn't always possible to see it, but you have a way of connecting dots, and I think this
right.
is part of that.
And a lot of physical ailments in this lifetime are connected to the energy points of your body and what they represent. I've seen it over and over again, yes.
With Reiki, when people work on that specifically, do you find that helpful in opening up and helping people become more intuitive, more aware of?
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to get into real quickly is that the work that you do with pets and animals. You've written a book, The Voice of Their Hearts, that has some really nice reviews. What the response to the work that you do with that, what is that like?
Well, that's the most enjoyable work, working with animals. They're very much more attuned to Reiki, I think, than people. Cats, even more so. Cats love Reiki. Dogs, some take a couple of sessions and grow to love it. Some love it right from the get-go, but they all enjoy it. They're very receptive to that energy being channeled to their bodies.
I can't remember the name of the group. It's a wildlife group, and they show work, Reiki being done, and I believe it was on a wolf, and it is one of the most profound sessions.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yes.
I'll have to post the link because it's one of the ones I've just slipped my mind at the moment, but they do some incredible work, and watching that video of the work with the wolf, there were several sessions, and it's just so powerful, really powerful.
It's incredible how you can have an animal just fall peacefully to sleep, just with the energy. It's something to see. I mean, even when I first started doing Reiki and I would do presentations to the public and large dogs would come, that I've never met before, and they would just fall peacefully down to sleep as I did it for the group. It's really wonderful. The only thing I could compare it to is I go to St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City for the blessing of the animals.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And if you've never been, it's something you should see in your life, that you can have a whole cathedral full of animals and they are all quiet. It's the energy of that place, the energy of St. Francis upon them.
Yeah.
They are all quiet.
That is amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can feel that as you're talking about it. Well, and they have an awareness and understanding that we don't really we don't tap into as easily. It's that nonverbal communication, that
right.
sensitivity
right.
that is just part
well,
of it.
Well, an animal knows when you are helping them. An animal knows when the energy is kind. They know that.
Yes. Yeah. I remember I saved a little chipmunk in the backyard that the dog had pretty much frozen, licked, into a stupor. He was cold, and I thought, oh, darn, I got him away from her, and he was there and pretending that he was not there, doing a very good impersonation of dead. So I breathed, warm breath on him and just kind of tried to massage him a little bit to see if there was any possibility of recovering. And finally, one eye opened. Just one eye tentatively looking to see, please don't let this be my dinner companion. And he recovered. So, but that thing of, I think sometimes they do automatically check out if it's a very serious situation. Oh, I found Earth Fire Institute Wildlife Sanctuary and Retreat. That is the healing energy, the wolf is apricot. And watching that gives you an appreciation for what's going on with this. But, okay, so when you're dealing with people, and I want to get back into, we're going to go back into the mediumship, because a lot of this is about acknowledging that we operate on more than one plane, not just the physical, but the spiritual and the non-corporeal. And once you begin, you get more familiar with this, you see nuances, and you feel energy in spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that it's not just one house that's haunted. It might be a lot of homes and a lot of spaces. And how do you deal with that energy? We're going to take a break. Again, my guest, Cheryl Knobloch, a medium and animal communicator, next on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for the interest in the Board Camp Crystal Mine. This thing is an extraordinary, for some, experience, because of the paranormal activities that are happening there. I have had a lot of response. That particular podcast is kind of blowing up. So in a good way, it had a lot of attention, because this is something you can go and experience. And it's relatively new. This is something they featured on the Travel Channel and in the last year or so, and so people are starting to come visit. It was closed for a little while so they could investigate and try and figure out what was happening. They had rocks that were levitating that were being captured on the game cameras, and they saw lights, like pillars of light, out in the back 40 somewhere, and the little sparks of light out in the woods. And so MUFON came in and said this could be possible UFO activity, which we haven't gotten into, that sometimes this paranormal stuff also has a UFO a similarity or something that we can't explain that goes beyond the ghost into something that's completely and totally unexpected for a lot of people, like the people who say they see Sasquatch and a UFO in the same place. It gets really fascinating. So back with Cheryl Knobloch, my guest, who's a medium and also does Reiki and also is a communicator, animal communicator. There's so much going on with this. How do you know what to focus on when you're dealing with people and you have the ghost energy, the animal energy, this other paranormal element? What do you choose to focus on to bring it all front and center to help people?
I see some mediums who seem to always be on, always able to see things, hear things at any given moment. I'm not like that. I don't think you can really be like that and not really affect your health. So there are times when I open myself to doing these things, and there are times when I close myself off and just, you know, when I'm sitting with friends, I'm not doing readings. I'm not seeing spirits, you know, hover about them. I'm just talking to friends, telling them about my day or asking them about their day. I think there are times you have to, like, permit yourself to close yourself off at times, or it would not be good for you to constantly be, you know, susceptible to these energies. It becomes too much.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring up that Borg Camp crystal mine, because there's a lot of paranormal activity there, and it may be a difference because of the earth energy and that kind of thing, not necessarily dead bodies or mm-hmm. a traumatic experience with emotions, but just mm-hmm. the fact that there is a different landscape and a different environment that is conducive mm-hmm. to higher energy activity.
Well, Gettysburg is very conducive to it because of all the quartz crystals around, and that, I mean, that uh-huh. was that amplifies all the. I mean, the earth itself has all the pain, the blood, the body parts. You know, mm-hmm. combine that with the quartz, and you've got, you know, just the perfect location of activity.
I didn't even think about asking you about the quartz connection because mm-hmm. yes, it's quartz crystals. That's what they're dealing with there,
right?
And so you're in Gettysburg. I didn't realize there was also a high, that the quartz was so...
You can walk in my yard and I can pick up quartz crystals on the ground.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. So I would not want to live at the diamond mine there in Arkansas. There's a diamond mine state park. And the energy of that place, I was just absolutely overwhelmed. It gave me headaches. It was incredibly intense.
It's not that way for me in Gettysburg. It's not that. I'm sure there are places that would be overwhelming. I can just imagine walking into that crystal mine and, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all talking.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not. But yeah, when you're sensitive to energy, you notice these things. And it's nice to have somebody to corroborate your, mm-hmm. you know, your sense.
I don't know if you are, but when storms are in the air or when, like, earthquakes, are you sensitive to that change?
Yes.
Sometimes you can feel that change in the energy. Yes.
There's electricity, and it's more mm-hmm. It's energizing, and mm-hmm. In most cases it's going to be more of a hyperactive. And my dogs are yeah. one
oh,
of them is
yes.
she's
that
over.
Animals possess that. You can just you can tell if animals in an area that's prone to disaster are acting. Yeah. You know. Differently, that's your first clue. Yeah.
Well, and it's for her, it's super intense. We got the thunder shirt to help her deal with it. And people, you know, they say, well, they're afraid. And no, it has nothing to do with frightened. It has to do with it. Your body has these sensations, and mm-hmm. you can't make them go away until the weather changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's also part of it. Anyway, so with your abilities, you also do reads for people. And mm-hmm. that is it Skype, internet?
It's internet. I ask only for name of people, picture if they wish to send it to me. I do sessions for animals, communicating with animals, and I do sessions on people as well.
Okay, and I just want to give the books that you have, the returning ones, My Ten-Legged Journey, Once Upon a Fairy Tale. There's a good combination here. Enchanted, The Strength of a Lion.
I've got several. I've got several fairy tale books, not just for children, but adults tell me that they enjoy them as well. They read them before bed. It gives them a peaceful night's sleep. I've got the books like My Ten-Legged Journey is a journal I kept of my own grief. I lost 4 dogs in a very short time. And it's just a journey of my, it's not only tears, it's also laughter, because I write a lot of funny stories about animals, too, if you read my blog. Mm-hmm. There's a story, the Civil War one, the reenactor's book.
Yeah. You've got the Spirit Whispers and Remembering the Magic. Those are the two I saw, too, as well. We have to do that. I knit blanket. Yes, I knit blankets for squirrels. That's the one we started with. Who's the squirrel on the front of the book?
he's a cutie, isn't he?
Yes.
I've got certain names for them. There's one I call Oliver. There's one I call Tufty Ears because she's got little tufts of, I don't know if she's a girl. If she's a girl, she has beautiful tufts of fur behind her ears. If she's a boy, she's just an old man who's growing some hair out of his ears. I've got names for all of them. They're the regulars. I have regulars. You learn to recognize them. You know, I can tell the marks, the different, they have different tails. You know, some are bushy, some are missing fur. Some have different variations on their fur, you know, the shadings, and you learn to recognize them. You know, I can tell when they're back. You know, it's always if I don't see one for a couple of days and then I see her again, you know, I say, oh, you're back, it's okay, you know, you should worry about them.
Well, that's what I liked about it, was they're just adorable. The pictures I love. The one thing I do, we can't do an energy show without mentioning the effects of Mercury retrograde. Okay, so if anybody's feeling this, you're not going crazy, we're saying yes, it's happening.
Yeah.
We got a couple minutes here. We're going to have to wrap up. But yeah, so you get into all the energy stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Mercury retrograde, how long do we have to get through this?
Well, I feel, you know, if you're very sensitive, you feel the effects of it a week or even longer before it starts. So, you know, even though the retrograde lasts a couple of weeks, you'll feel it a couple of weeks after if you're very sensitive. So, you know, give yourself till well into April before you feel normal again.
Okay. Happy spring. Cheryl, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you talking with me. And whoever is lucky enough to live near you and in your area, I think you're a gem, and people are very fortunate because some of this stuff, it just helps to have somebody close by to say, hey, I've got this spirit playing all sorts of games with me and hiding all my stuff. How do I make it stop? And Cheryl will say, relax, relax, make peace. And that'll be a step in the right direction. Got to get out of here. What the website you recommend for people to connect with you?
The easiest way to find me is on Facebook. I have my website where I do the readings, and the animal Reiki is briarrosereiki.com. Amazon, you can look up my name on Amazon, and it'll bring up the link to all my books, all the fairy tale books, all the animal books. Very easily you can find them. Very easy to find.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to check out now, and if this show will also be on the podcast too. So thank you, thank you. Have a great day and a good spring, and looking forward to April.
Thanks. Very nice to chat again, Wendy. Thank you.
And if you're listening, stay curious, positive, and hopeful. See ya.
Bye-bye.